In 1863, at the height of the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln issued a proclamation requesting all Americans to ask God to, quote, commend to his tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers in this lamentable civil strife, and to heal the wounds of the nation. He scheduled Thanksgiving for the final Thursday in November, and it was celebrated on that day every year until 1939, when Franklin Roosevelt moved the holiday up a week in an attempt to spur retail sales during the Great Depression. Roosevelt's plan, which was derisively known as Franksgiving, met with such passionate opposition that in 1941, he reluctantly signed a bill going back to the fourth Thursday in November for Thanksgiving. I think Franksgiving now has been replaced with Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. Now, I don't know if it's a good thing or not that we have one day a year that we celebrate as Thanksgiving. I mean, does that mean that we can be as ungrateful as we want the other 364 days a year? Maybe we should start a movement to reverse this. Let's set one day aside as Grumbling Day, and then we can be thankful all the other days of the year. How does that sound? Now, throughout the month of November, we're considering Thanksgiving as a way of living. Getting beyond this idea of Thanksgiving just being one day on the calendar. Last week we saw the aptitude for Thanksgiving is gratification. If we are going to be thankful, we must learn to be content where we are. Where discontentment reigns, Thanksgiving wanes. But where we can be content, whether we have a lot or a little, whether our circumstances are what we would choose, or maybe there's something beyond our control, when we can be content, when we can find satisfaction in what God has given us and where He has placed us, we are in a much better position to be thankful. This morning, I want to turn to the attitude of Thanksgiving, which I am suggesting is gratitude. Now, I understand that phrase, attitude of gratitude, has almost become cliche. It has been used so much. But it is still a very accurate way of suggesting the attitude we need to have. As we are going to see, this attitude of gratitude is the very beating heart of a life that is under the control of the Holy Spirit. It's not dependent upon people or circumstances, but rather in a confident faith in the Lord. In fact, gratitude is an extension of our faith. It's an expression of our faith. We can only be grateful when we know that we do not deserve the blessings we have, and we did not create them. Unlike Bart Simpson, who infamously prayed, "Dear God, we paid for all this stuff ourselves, so thanks for nothing." Now, we may laugh or we may groan at that, but how much do we kind of reflect that, even if we don't put it in those words? If we think that everything we have done is from our own abilities, our own intelligence and strength, our own strategies and plans, aren't we in essence saying the same thing? Thanks God, but no thanks. I've got this. I think this attitude of self-sufficiency can be a real danger to this attitude of thanksgiving. Gratitude is a faith that God is good. He is in control. And what He is doing in our life is good, even when bad things happen. Another one of those sayings that has become almost cliche in our Christian circles is Romans 8:28. We know that in all things God works for the good. That doesn't mean all things are good. There are bad things that happen, and they're just bad. There are evil things that take place, and they can be described no other way. But God promises to His people that even in the bad things of life, even in the evil things that other people do, He will work for our good. And if we trust that, if we believe that, we will tend to have a grateful heart. Now, I'm not suggesting that gratitude is sticking our head in the sand. Gratitude happens when we've sunk our teeth deep into life and tasted the bitter along with the sweet. We can develop this attitude of gratitude when we let go of this preoccupation with ourselves and stop living with a sense of entitlement. You know, that the world and everybody around us owes us something. That will kill a spirit of thanksgiving. And it really will tend to make us more bitter than better. So I want to begin this morning with the prevalent command of gratitude. The word thanksgiving appears 25 times in the New International Version, but there are 138 verses in the Bible dealing with the subject of giving thanks, and it uses a variety of terms and phrases. Many more talk about rejoicing and happiness and joy. Consider the book of Psalms. Psalms has a lot of these commands to praise. Psalm 50, verse 14, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High. Here is a command to give thanks. Make it a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Psalm 105 begins, give thanks to the Lord. Call on His name. Make known among the nations what He has done. That's actually bleeding into our next subject, which is giving glory to God. Make known. So it isn't just a private matter where I'm giving thanks to God, but I'm also telling others what God has done in my life. Psalm 107, verse 8, let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for mankind. This attitude of gratitude is a clear command. It's an expectation God has on each of us. You see the same thing in the New Testament. This theme practically runs through the whole book of Colossians. In the course of just a few pages, Paul writes in chapter 1, verse 3, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Here he has an attitude of thanksgiving. We're always giving thanks when we pray for you. In chapter 2, verse 7, he speaks of overflowing with thankfulness. Just think about that. You have so much gratitude in your heart that it just overflows. And then in chapter 4, verse 2, he says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. How much of our prayer is really thanksgiving? I think the more we are giving thanks to God in prayer, maybe the less we expect from Him. When we are appreciative of what we have, we're not so much focusing on what we don't. All of this is part of this attitude we should have. And then, as if summing up the whole idea, coming from our scripture reading this morning in Colossians 3, verses 15 through 17, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Every verse in that paragraph has some reference to giving thanks or gratitude. This is something we should do. And notice he says, whatever you do, it's for our good, it's for his glory. Now, unfortunately, this doctrine of gratitude has been relegated to something of an optional and seasonal spirit. Oh yeah, that's something we do in the fall, you know, as we, you know, in between Halloween and Christmas, yeah, we have this Thanksgiving season. That's a time that we give thanks. And it's a good thing if you want to, but yeah, it's really not all that necessary in the Christian life. But really, this is something that should mark every believer. If someone was to describe my life and your life as a Christian, one of the things people ought to notice about us is that we are appreciative people. We are prone to say thank you to others. We are prone to say thank you to God. That should be something that characterizes our lives. And don't forget, Philippians 2:14 says, do everything without complaining and arguing. That's a tough one. But if you want to know how you can get to that point, increase your gratitude. Because the more thankful you are, the less grumbling you are going to be. When you are truly grateful, you're going to find less to complain about. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning in verse 16, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I know many people struggle with that concept. What is the will of God for my life? And they're probably thinking of what I do for a living or where I should live or who I should marry, those kinds of questions. Here's one of those passages that tells you what God's will is. Always be rejoicing, always be praying, and always be giving thanks. You see, the will of God isn't so much where you live or what you do as a job. It's the kind of person you are. And you can do anything and live anywhere and be this kind of a person, and you are in the will of God. Give thanks in all things. Now, I confess, I have often said about that last verse, it says give thanks in all circumstances, not for all circumstances. But then this last week I was reminded of Ephesians 5:20, and it says always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you know the story of Johnny Erickson as a 17-year-old, healthy, athletic, vibrant young girl. Dove into the waters of the Chesapeake Bay, didn't realize it was shallow. Hit her head on the bottom, it snapped her neck, and she's been a quadriplegic ever since. And she writes, most of us are able to thank God for his grace, comfort, and sustaining power in a trial, but we don't thank him for the problem, just finding him in it. Here is someone who has lived an entire life. And you think, if anybody could be bitter, if anybody could get sour, if anybody could give up on life and give up on God, it'd be Johnny Erickson, but she never did. And she has learned, and she'll be the first to admit it, she had to learn it, she has learned how to be grateful, how to be thankful, even in and for the situation she finds herself in. Gratitude is important because it reminds us of who we are, but also whose we are. Our need for God, our need for one another. The Bible is literally filled with verses on gratitude, and they are commands, they're not suggestions. These are things we really need to do. And that brings us to the personal choice of gratitude. I think if you would ask most people, what is gratitude? Many would define it in terms of a feeling. It is a feeling of appreciation. But that's really not what the Bible says. There are feelings that accompany thanksgiving, but giving thanks is not an emotion, it is a decision. We must choose to be thankful. Henry Nouwen once wrote, "When there is a reason for gratitude, there can always be found a reason for bitterness. It is here that we're faced with the freedom to make a decision. We can decide to be grateful or to be bitter." Gratitude is a choice. It is a decision. It is something that we must choose for ourselves. Nancy DeMoss writes, "Over the years, I have sought to make gratitude a way of life, and I have experienced many of the blessings that accompany the attitude of gratitude. However, I've seen that if I am not ceaselessly vigilant about rejecting ingratitude and choosing gratitude, I all too easily get sucked into that undertow of life in a fallen world. I start focusing on what I don't have that I want, or what I want that I don't have. My life starts to feel hard, wearisome, and overwhelming." See, thanksgiving is a deliberate decision. It involves all aspects of our personality. It's a choice, and that makes it an act of the will that requires constantly renewing my mind with the truth of God's word, setting my heart to savor God and His gifts, disciplining my tongue to speak words that reflect His goodness and grace, until a grateful spirit becomes my reflexive response to all of life. You can make it a habit so that you don't really have to think about it much. You just do. We often talk about bad habits. You know how bad habits are formed? The choices we make. You know how bad habits are broken? The choices we make. And one great way to break a bad habit is to start a good habit, because they're built the same way. The choices we make. As we choose to be grateful, we are rejecting the temptation to be ungrateful, to become bitter, to become negative. It is a choice. Now, this issue of gratitude is far greater than the lightweight reputation we sometimes think of it as. What appears at first to be a cute little cameo to go along with the finer things is in reality a much weightier, much more powerful, much more necessary component of our Christian life. Try, for example, to sustain persevering faith without gratitude, and your faith will eventually forget the whole point of its faithfulness, hardening into a practice of religion that's hollow and ineffective. You just do, and you don't even know why you do, and you don't appreciate it. It's just you do. Try being a person who exudes and exhibits Christian love without gratitude, and in time, love will crash hard on the sharp rocks of disappointment and disillusionment. Try being a person who sacrificially gives of yourself without the offering being accompanied by gratitude, and you'll find every ounce of joy drained by a martyr complex. True gratitude is not an incidental ingredient in the Christian life, nor is it a standalone product, something that never actually intersects with life. safely denying reality out on its own little happy island somewhere. No, gratitude is a big job. It's something we must do. Something to be done in our hearts. It's one of the chief ways that God infuses joy and resilience into the daily struggle of life. I think the importance of gratitude in the Christian life can't be overstated. I've come to believe that few things are more becoming in a child of God than a grateful spirit. Have you ever noticed people that are truly thankful are just a joy to be around? Right? But you know, the opposite is also true. There's probably nothing that makes a person more unattractive than the absence of a grateful spirit. Someone who's always complaining, always bitter. You really don't want to be around them, do you? After a while, it becomes very difficult. Finally, let's consider some positive consequences of gratitude. Few things can change a person's life more drastically than developing an attitude of gratitude. Your attitude does affect your altitude. It affects how far you will go in life and how much you will enjoy the journey. One of the interesting things I've discovered in recent years is how even secular psychology is acknowledging the benefits of gratitude. I thought it was a new thing. It's actually not. Dr. Hans Selye, who is considered the father of stress research as it affects the mind and the body, he suggested that gratitude produces more energy than any other attitude. He was an advocate of it way back then. And haven't you found it to be true that people that are truly grateful tend to be the happiest people around? It's just one of the positive consequences of gratitude. It lifts us up. It makes us a more positive, winsome person. To a significant degree, your emotional, mental, physical, and spiritual well-being, as well as the health and the stability of your relationship with others, will be determined by how much gratitude you have in your life. Cultivating a thankful heart is a safeguard against becoming bitter, prickly, and sour. A grateful heart, a grateful child of God, can't help but be a joyful, peaceful, radiant person. An attitude of gratitude will bring to your heart a host of blessings and make you a channel of blessing to others. So not only do you receive the blessings of God for being thankful, but you become a blessing to others. There's a lot of power in those two little words, thank you, when spoken genuinely. They can change a gloomy atmosphere into a bright, merry one. Giving thanks is liberating. It changes heart conditions such as negativism, pessimism, and cynicism. It can change all of that to gratitude. It keeps us from the disease of resentment and all of the negative effects that that can have. Thankfulness truly can be an attitude of the heart, and it affects every area of our lives. But remember, this attitude of gratitude is our calling. It's a command. It's not merely a suggestion. It is something we choose. It's not just a feeling. And ingratitude is like a virus in our souls. It infects and poisons everything we do and say and touch. Ingratitude might seem harmless. Oh, what's the big deal? You know, there's a whole lot of bigger fish out there to fry. But it can absolutely devastate your life and the lives of those around you. Gratitude, on the other hand, is transformational. It can change your life. It can change your reputation. I truly believe that a grateful spirit rooted in the soil of God's goodness and grace will radically impact how you view everything in your life. Whether it's good or bad, because let's face it, we're going to experience both, aren't we? We're always going to have good things happen to us, we're going to have bad things happen to us. It's how we react that's going to make the difference. And if we can develop this attitude of gratefulness, in the good and the bad, we're going to see our faith grow. And this attitude of gratitude will draw others to Christ. In Africa, there is a little berry called the taste berry. It is called this because it changes your taste so that everything you eat becomes sweet and pleasant. I wish I had known this when I was growing up. I might have eaten broccoli and cauliflower and all that gross stuff. Someone has said that gratitude is the Christian's taste berry. If we can give thanks in all circumstances, it's going to make everything take on a different hue. It's going to change the way we look at life. It'll even turn sour things into sweet. The Bible tells us, be joyful always. Pray continually. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You see, the attitude of thanksgiving is gratitude. And not just for one day, but all year round. Would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we have so much for which to be grateful. Our life, our health, our families, our relationships, our jobs, even the trials that come that make us stronger, that force us to rely on you more, even those things you work for our good. Help us to develop this attitude of thanksgiving, to be truly grateful for everything you bring into our lives. May it transform us to be a more positive, winsome person. And may it make your Son more attractive to those we meet. May it draw them to Christ when they see Jesus in us. So help us to go from this place and not wait for the fourth Thursday in November, but to make every day Thanksgiving Day, that we would truly be marked by gratitude, and may others see it in our lives. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Amen.